Rounding out a few final points, just as far as the legal criteria, what exactly constitutes an ani, and where one is eligible for the receipt of tzedakah. So we established yesterday that the basic guideline for what constitutes an ani is somebody who has no financial stability, namely somebody who has a picture where he can forecast for the coming year that he has his finances in order, he has a job which even if it doesn't pay up front, but over the course of the year it's anticipated that he will be covered, is somebody who is not an ani. An ani is somebody who, even if he does have current financial income or support or something along those lines, but even so, if he fears imminent termination of his job or something else where he, again, he is lacking that stability, he would be an ani, certainly somebody who has no financial stability at all. But again, the guideline is somebody who can forecast ahead for the coming year. Whether he can forecast stability would put him in or out of the picture of an ani. Now, there are those people, there are some exceptions where somebody can feasibly be within the boundaries of a normal, stable financial picture. He has his job, he has his house, everything is covered, and yet for a limited time being, he will have a status of an ani within a certain circumstance, and that is, should sudden situation arise where he has expense which overwhelms his normal financial capacity. For example, let's say he had an illness which would come up, and that the costs would mount, and it wouldn't be covered by insurance, and so on and so forth, or somebody would have a wedding. And where even though in a normal circumstance he can pay the bills and he has no problem making it through regular day-to-day life, but these specific events overwhelm him, that in turn would qualify him for tzedakah. He would be considered an ani within the framework of that circumstance, and he may accept tzedakah funds towards helping him keep his stability as he goes through these events. A second circumstance where somebody can be an ani, even though he normally would project financial stability, is a case where, perhaps less common today, and that is where someone's traveling, and in the position where he is, in the place where he finds himself, he suddenly finds himself with no access to his money. Suppose he has money at home, and he has no way of withdrawing cash. You know, he's overseas in a foreign country, perhaps he can't exchange money, something along those lines. Obviously today it's much easier to access, no matter where we are in the world, even if there's some sort of cost incurred. But if somebody is in a position where he cannot access his money, even though he is completely financially stable, he is solvent, he has a regular full income, and he's doing quite well. But since at the moment he can't access his funds, within that framework, within that moment, he's considered to be an ani, and he's allowed to use the tzedakah money. He's fully entitled to benefit from tzedakah money in that sphere of time. However, going forward, he may want to pay tzedakah back when he returns to regular positioning, regular life, where he can access his money, but legally he does not have to pay that back. It's within his right to take it, because again, he is an ani during that framework. And when he returns to normal society, he will revert back to his status as somebody who is not allowed to take tzedakah, but that doesn't affect what happened during that time frame. Another point worth mentioning is that the earlier Paiskim speak out, that when one is in a position where he has to come on to the rabbin, he has to come on to the general public, rather than do so, he is obligated to go ahead and sell off assets that he has, and by doing so, he will forestall the possibility of having to come on to other people. Now, I saw brought down from Shlomo Zalman Orbach that in current times, there is a very serious limitation on that concept, and that is because in times gone by, it was generally accepted that things were valued, assessed at somehow their real value, so to speak. And therefore, if things were resold at a later time, the second-hand value was not that significantly different than the original sale value, because it reflected on the general usage of the item. Today, we live in a society where generally second-hand items, for the most part, have a far less of a value than their original sale price. That's just the way things are for most items, perhaps not for cars or for some specific items. Maybe their markup is originally compared to the sale price the second time around is not so significant, but generally things second time around are far below the original sale value, and doing so therefore would mean incurring a significant loss in the sale of these items. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, that being the case, we do not obligate somebody to incur a serious financial loss to prevent coming onto the public, and therefore if the only way to do so, the only way to avoid receiving tzedakah would be to incur such a great loss by selling off his items, his various assets at a significant loss, he would not be obligated to do so. Again, this would not apply to things that perhaps could be sold at not such a significant loss. If someone has a collection, say, of old svarim, other things that are passed down, or antiques, or things that have certain value, no matter where, how many times they're sold, obviously this would not apply to these items. One last point worth pointing out is that the criteria for an ani is purely a financial cheshbon, and that means that this whole criteria, the whole way of assessing someone's status is based on his financial wherewithal, his financial capacity, and how, his outlook projected forwards. There are other elements when we see an ani come by, we look at him, and we see different things about his personality, the way he conducts himself. Sometimes we have that perception somewhat tainted by the way we look at him, and that is that maybe affected by other things, the way he carries himself, his demeanor. The Shla goes to lengths to point out that if somebody has midos rois, and hagos that are meguna, he calls them, things are really, he doesn't act in a very becoming manner, he acts in a way, the person comes around collecting, and he really doesn't have a very positive personality, and it rubs off the wrong way. This is no way, no, he may not have very good midos, and in no way are we trying to endorse somebody's actions if he acts somewhere out of line. However, this in no way affects his status as an ani. An ani is a purely limited to financial assessment alone. Now, we're not talking about somebody who conducts himself outside the boundaries of halacha, or somebody who is going ahead and using his money, squandering it on all sorts of ridiculous things where the money is not being used for any conductive purpose whatsoever. We're talking about somebody who, maybe he's not my type of person, you know, other sorts of reasons why I look at him and say this person's not a balmidas, or someone who looks, you know, someone who just doesn't come across very positive, but pleasantly. Certainly, all the more so when it comes to, so to speak, some sort of social divide, or, you know, all sorts of people have different types of society they like to support, and others they look, you know, they tend to look down a little bit upon. All these type of things have no bearing whatsoever on his legal status as an ani. If he does not have financial solvency, he is an ani no matter what his midas are, and therefore there is no nafkamina in the halacha of who we are obligated to support and who is entitled to receive tzedakah. He is certainly required to work on his midas. That has nothing to do with our obligation to give tzedakah and his ability to receive it.